There are a lot of miracles talked about in the Bible. Some of my favorite miracles in the Old Testament involve Moses. And it's interesting how, you know, we believe in the miracles, we appreciate them, but there are those in the world who don't. And that reminds me of a story. There's a young man sitting on a park bench, and he's reading the Bible. And sitting also on the park bench is an atheist. Well, periodically, the young man would say, "Praise the Lord, God is great." Well, the atheist, "So what are you reading?" He says, "Well, I'm reading the part where Moses, by the miracle of God, was able to lead all of the Israelites out of Egypt, and they miraculously crossed the Red Sea. God is great." The atheist said, "Oh, I need to set you straight. That wasn't a miracle. Studies have shown that the tides and the weather patterns were such that the Red Sea was only 10 inches deep at that time, and that's why they could cross." Well, the young man was a little perplexed, but he kept reading, and then all of a sudden he says, "God is great! Hallelujah! Pharaoh and his army drowned in just 10 inches of water." Now, we do believe in the miracles. But we do have our own struggles. Sometimes, you know, when we read things in the Bible that just don't make perfect sense, sometimes we skip over that section and just keep reading. Now, I especially find this to be true when reading the letters of Apostle Paul. Today we're going to talk about one of those sections. I'd read it many times before, but had actually missed the point until we had a study on this back in L.A. a few months ago. I personally appreciated understanding the point, and I just want to share it with you today. But before we read the scriptures, I need to do a quick demonstration for you. Nothing complicated. All we need is this flashlight and a scarf. Now, this flashlight doesn't have regular batteries. Instead, we have to turn a crank by hand, then it generates electricity to power the flashlight. Now, here we go. We're giving it a few cranks. Turn on the switch. And tell me what happens. Well, as you can see, the light starts shining. However, does it stay on forever? No. As soon as the electricity starts running out, the light gets dimmer and dimmer until it finally fades out. Let's try it one more time. Oops, there we go. Crank it. Turn on the switch. Starts shining brightly, gradually fades out, gradually, until it eventually fades away. Is it glowing now? Maybe just a little bit. Okay, but now let's try this experiment. Crank it. I'm going to turn on the switch. You can see it's shining, but now I'm going to cover it with this scarf. Can anyone tell me what's happening right now? Yeah. Do you think it's shining? Do you think it's starting to fade away? Well, we know it's fading away. How about 30 seconds from now? Will it still be shining? Or will it be completely faded out? Right, we know that eventually it's going to be completely faded out. In less than a minute, probably. Now this leads us to Exodus 34, verses 29 and 30. Exodus 34, verses 29 and 30. "It came about when Moses was coming down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand as he was coming down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because of his speaking with God. So when Aaron and all the sons of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him." Okay, here's what was happening. When Moses was with God on Mount Sinai, the glory of God would cause Moses' face to glow. Well, since this scared the Israelites, from then on, he put a veil over his face to hide the glow whenever he talked to the Israelites. But here's the question. Did the glow last forever? Or did it eventually fade away? Right, it eventually faded away. But here's the key point. The Israelites did not know it was fading away, nor did they know when it was completely gone. Why not? Because it was covered with a veil. The only way to know would be to remove the veil. And that leads us to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting with verse 7. Now, we're going to read to the end of the chapter. That's verse 18. Don't worry if it doesn't make complete sense the first time, because we're going to go over the main points after we read it. 2 Corinthians 3, 7 through 18. But if the ministry of death in letters engraved on stone came with glory, so that the sons of Israel could not look intently at the face of Moses because of the glory of his face, fading as it was, how will the ministry of the Spirit fail to be even more with glory? For if the ministry of condemnation has glory, much more does the ministry of righteousness abound in glory. For indeed, what had glory, in this case, has no glory because of the glory that surpasses it. For if that which fades away was with glory, much more that which remains is in glory. Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech and are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face so that the sons of Israel would not look intently at the end of what was fading away. But their minds were hardened. For until this very day, at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Okay. So what does all this mean? Well, do we notice some things similar to our flashlight demonstration? Right? There was a light or a glow. It was covered by a veil. And even though it was covered, we knew it was fading away. And we knew it would eventually fade completely away. So what's Paul talking about? He's talking about two different ministries. One is a ministry of death. The other is a ministry of life and liberty. The ministry of death, which was engraved on stones, is the law covenant. Now, since none of the Israelites could keep the law and gain justification to life, well, the end result would be death. Now, Paul explains that back then, the law covenant did have glory, but that even back then, God planned for its glory to eventually fade away. Why? Because it would be surpassed by something with even greater glory. Justification to life by faith in Jesus Christ. Now in verse 15, we also understand if a person tries to obtain justification through the law, then it's as if there's a veil over their heart. In the same way, the Israelites did not know when the glow had completely faded away from Moses' face, Well, during Paul's day, the Israelites also did not know the glow of the law had already faded away. Why? Because Paul tells us in verse 16, the only way to remove that veil is to turn to Christ. Now, there's one more similarity going on right now that is similar to back then. Our time has also faded completely away, and our